Cougar season. All right, welcome to another Cougar season, starring me, Hefe,
with Chief Drunken New Teeth as sidekick.
Yes, I would prefer the term counterpoint.
Counterpoint.
Or
counterbalance.
Yes, or counterweight. I don't know what the fulcrum is.
Jeff, I have no idea. That's a good question. Jeff, I've got to ask you.
What is our fulcrum?
I'm noticing that the fulcrum of tonight's show is the fact that you actually have candy in your candy dish.
Yeah, I have an assortment. There's gum and Snickers bars and Kit Kats.
There's liquor and promotional mints.
Oh, yes. Rangpur Gin, brought to you by Bombay, I think. Tanqueray. Not bad stuff. They were nice. They gave us free t-shirts and mints.
Something in a box that says, I love my penis?
That's gum.
Oh.
That was a present. You know, it's the kind of thing you're never going to use.
Probably not.
Because the novelty is the important part there, not the actual, I think it's cinnamon gum, which I don't like anyways.
But so this must be leftover from people bringing this stuff into the bar? Or?
I brought candy for Wednesday night, and not a lot of people showed up, so.
Oh, they didn't?
I didn't have to give out a lot of candy.
Well, I showed up the night before for Live Band Karaoke, and you were wearing some amazing pants.
These are amazing pants. I bought them at the Attic in Las Vegas.
You can. Is that a costume store or?
Vintage.
Oh.
Slash.
Vintage.
Yeah.
You know, crazy clothing.
Yep.
Those are something else.
They're wild. And they're my new Tuesday night Live Band Karaoke pants since they were such a hit.
Well, you are the big host of a show, so.
Yeah, if one more person comes in just to see my pants, that was all worth it.
You know what's funny is that even though Wednesday, you said no one came out, there was a good number of people who came out on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
I was kind of surprised because I thought a lot of people would have been petered out from partying over the weekend.
God, I had like four Halloweens this year, man. It was just so much. And it's. It burned out.
Well, that's the shitty part of having Halloween in the middle of the week.
Yeah.
Everyone wants to do it up on the weekend, but then they still want to do it up on Halloween as well.
Yeah. And I got to say, I'm kind of tired. I was working a lot, two or three jobs, and I'm just, thankfully, I'm only working one job this week. And then I go back. I'm going back to the testing ranch. The painting thing ended.
Not on the best terms. Oh, really? What happened? Maybe we shouldn't discuss that?
Not really. It's kind of just probably better this way.
Why don't we just pull Spinal Tap and say it's best left unsolved?
Yeah. There's nothing to really talk about.
So let me ask you to talk about this then. I know last Thursday night...
Communication is important, is all I will say.
In all relationships?
In maintaining personal and business relationships.
Last Thursday night, I saw you guys, you and Sarah, your next-door neighbor.
Yeah.
You guys came by my work, The Limelight, which was pretty crazy to see you guys. It was awesome to see you guys come by. And we shoved a bunch of Jaeger down your throat.
Yeah, I drank a lot of Jaeger.
Which I know you're not complaining about. But my point is, you guys were off to Harlow's to go see...
Sex Type Thing,
which is a band that... Are they mostly cover band or are they all covers?
All covers, all 90s covers.
And Shano.
So the Sex Type Thing is the album from the Stone Temple Pilots.
Oh, that's right.
Which also has the same initials as Stone Temple Pilots.
STP.
No, it's a song by Stone Temple Pilots.
Wait.
I'm not sure if it's an album or not. But
no, it's STT, isn't it?
Stone Temple Pilots is STP. Sex Type Thing is STP.
STT.
Sex Type... Oh, it is STT. Yeah, wow. I blew that one.
Well, we got to start saying P is silent.
The T is silent and sex type thing. Anyways.
But so how was that?
It was pretty good.
Was it?
Yeah, they were really good.
Did they say hi to you after the show or anything?
I mean, yeah.
You know, every time he comes and plays in Sacramento, he has no time to so much as call you.
No, we went to the Raven.
Oh, you guys
afterwards.
Did?
Yeah.
Awesome.
I eventually passed out on the bar.
Nice.
Yeah.
Was Brad there?
So I'm back on my light drinking kick. Because I was exhausted and I drank and... I wanted to party that.
I like that.
Light,
I'm back on my light drinking kick.
Yeah. Well, I've been good since then.
a week before this past Saturday, I had to start reining myself in, because I mean, Saturday morning, a week and a half ago, I just got just tore up. It was bad, real bad.
It's the whole thing where you're just like, I want to feel good. Oh, and that made me feel good. And then maybe another will make me feel even better.
Well,
and this is a total thing that you never slow down, or I'm not.
For me, the problem is I just get off of a 12-hour shift.
Yeah.
And the bartender on Saturday and Sunday mornings is Carlos.
And you haven't eaten.
Yeah, I haven't eaten. And Carlos and I have, in the past like 4 weeks, just 4 weeks ago, decided we were going to bring Rumpel back. So every morning starts out with a couple Rumpelman shots, and I have a drink, then another shot, then another shot, another drink, another shot. I threw up in the alley.
At work.
Apparently, yeah, at work. Talking to bums were talking to me who were going through the dumpster. And I blocked that part of it out, okay? Because I remember kind of leaving, and I remember getting home. But apparently, that's why I didn't feel near as bad as I thought I would Saturday night, because I had already thrown up.
I wish I was a puker. I'd feel a lot better in the long run. Instead, I decided to absorb it all. I think my body's telling me to try to learn a lesson, and I just refuse to learn it.
What lesson's that?
Well, if I actually absorb everything I drank, then I'm going to pay for that, you know, as opposed to purging some of it and then avoiding some of the, you know, detox afterwards.
I purged on purpose, but that was not an on-purpose purge. Apparently, I went outside, threw up, came back into the bar, and said, "No more alcohol!" and sat down and had another drink.
Spoken like a true Roman.
I just...
You were born in the wrong time.
Should
have lived in the, you know, early first or second century, maybe.
Yeah, I'll have to ask my parents about that.
Yeah.
They screwed me royal by having me when they did. Man, shit.
Yeah. Why didn't your soul turn come up, you know, 2,000 years sooner?
You know, the thing is, I probably already did that. It's just I liked it so much, I've been taking it with me in every incarnation since.
Yes. Born too soon. Too late.
I probably died as somebody that Bukowski beat up one time in an alley.
You think so?
You never know.
I saw his biography.
There's a movie I want to see of his. I mean, about him.
Yeah.
It's a biography movie.
It's a documentary, yeah.
Yeah, it's not one of these Barfly or what was that
Factotum.
One?
Factotum.
You know what? I've seen them both. Barfly was actually kind of good. I enjoyed it. Even though it was a little over the top and stuff, it was actually enjoyable. Whereas Factotum, which is kind of like, Barfly did this better. It's almost the same film, but not as good.
Yeah. It is. And Bukowski worked on Barfly.
That might have a...
Whereas Factotum was at post-Bukowski.
See, I think what they tried to do on Factotum was Dylan was trying to do the... I'm going to be the person, you know, you think of him as when he was, you know, writing, you know, working and, you know, someone kind of... He just looked too good, though, you know?
Yeah.
Mickey Rourke got himself that pot belly going.
They gave him a sunburned face, but that was about it.
Yeah, that didn't really work, though, for me. I mean, when seeing Mickey Rourke, that shirt that doesn't cover his belly and those jockey shorts and just a sock with the dried blood on his head.
And Matt Dillon was so freaking dry.
Yeah,
he didn't know how to relate, I don't think. And I don't know why they even put him in that film at all, really.
I think it helped.
Matt Dillon's not really bad, but he's not that he was miscast.
Yeah. Well, he probably never got to meet Charles Bukowski either, whereas Mickey Rourke did. So.
And Johnny Depp met...
Who?
Hunter S. Thompson.
That's true. Which helps him do that one.
And that movie had a real director.
Exactly. A real crazy director, but a real director nonetheless.
Real crazy director, yes.
Real crazy. I just always wanted to finish Don Quixote. Just, I don't think it's ever going to happen.
I don't care if they slap whatever they got to get and put it together.
Exactly. I'll see the bad rough takes, you know what I mean?
I'll watch the dailies.
You know what the funny part to me is? The movie has become, like, literally an alive, you know, analogy of the story itself.
Yeah.
You know, something he can never accomplish because he's fighting windmills thinking they're dragons.
Yeah.
He's never going to get the movie finished.
Uh-huh. Just like I never finished reading all of Don Quixote.
Yeah. I don't know anybody who actually does.
I got through the first part, and that was it. And then I started reading the second part, and I don't know. It just that language is just tedious, I guess. You know, it doesn't translate well.
Translations are always difficult.
Yeah.
We've been watching a lot of anime.
I can't really read Castilian.
For instance?
So it would have been difficult for me to...
Yeah, just pick it up on the fly. Oh, yeah.
That's Castilian. It's sort of Spanish. No, Cervantes was the other prolific writer of the Shakespeare era. It was basically those two guys were doing all the writing.
Well, no one really remembers Cervantes.
Yeah, everyone knows Don Quixote, though.
Yeah, well, of course. That's because everyone.
I think I've even heard Greg Gumbel use the term quixotic during a sports broadcast. Low those 5 or 6 years ago or whenever he was still deemed interesting enough to be on.
I'm wondering, should it
CBS
be
CBS Sports?
Should it be quixotic or should it be quixotic?
I thought he said it wrong.
That's what I would.
But I looked it
initially,
up.
Initially, really?
I looked it up.
And it's quixotic.
It's quixotic.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, see, and that's
I had Greg Gumbel between my fucking sights, man. I'm like, ooh, I got you, Gumbel. You dull, successful broadcaster.
That's why he's Fred Gumbel, though, and we're
Greg Gumbel
doing a podcast.
Greg Gumbel.
Frank, Greg, whatever. It's like two slices of Wonder Bread. Give me a break.
Wheat bread.
No, I'd say Wonder Bread because it had just the brown on the edge.
Yeah. Right on. I'm not going to call them Oreos.
I don't think
how can somebody be too black or too white or?
I agree, and I have a problem with when white people
just
try
dull.
To act, something that they're not. But
yeah.
So you think I have a problem?
That's
my problem, though.
He's trying
to act white. He should be trying to act black.
He's not trying to act white. He's just being himself, and then
no, he is. I know. I mean, that's the way he was raised. He was raised in a good family. Got to go to school. He didn't
have
to
worry
about ducking bullets.
Like, there's not other good black families?
There probably are.
I'm sure there are.
I'm sure there's tons.
I
just don't know them.
Everybody can't be put in a box. Just because I'm poor doesn't mean I'm poor white trash.
Well, the rich only get richer, man.
Yeah.
Which is funny thing, because I've yet to meet a rich person who's like, yeah, I'm just trying to work and getting poor,
I know a lot of poor people are trying to get richer. They ask me for money all the time. I can't take it anymore. I just walk by them like this, with my lower lip shoved between my teeth, clenching down, because I don't want to,
Does it work?
Yeah. Or also, I'll just ask them first. I'll go, can I have some money? As I'm walking by. Can I have some money?
Hey, can you spare some change?
Yeah, spare some change.
God, we need to do that one. The Office Max, Cold lady. Unreceivable. We need to do that one.
HR.
We need to do that one, and then do this one, too. Get you dressed up in the same suit, and we'll film you going up to bums, going, hey, can you spare some change?
Spare some change. My Mercedes is a parking meter.
Right?
I don't have any quarters. Maybe. We got to do that before they put all the new parking things in, because pretty soon they aren't going to have parking meters anymore.
Yeah, pretty soon you're not going to
need quarters. You're going to have just the pay machine where you can put a dollar in, so it'll take bills.
How soon is it going to be before we go to a no-change society? Everything you possibly need change for, they're trying to take away. They got fast pass for the toll booths. Hell, tolls aren't even in 50-cent increments anymore. I mean, they got fast pass at the gas station. I mean, they're trying to phase out. They've already phased out pay phones. They're trying to phase out.
If you actually predict the rate of inflation, I would, be a sought-after person.
So you're saying you can't predict when we're going to get a change?
I'm unable to. All I can say is that prices will go up. Barring any any societal catastrophe when the monetary system collapses,
I'm going all in on monetary catastrophe.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing, and that's
I'm running out my credit.
I was thinking about the whole war on terror thing the other day, and this isn't just a big show about politics, but it just kind of occurred to me that. We're the big fish in the pond or whatever, and we're the I don't know what you call us, but we're the side that's perceived to be stronger. But in one way, the distinct disadvantage is that the other side isn't trying to achieve anything per se. All they're looking for is destruction, because societies and castles and cities can fall in ruins, and that's still going to be great for them,
right?
Because all they want to do, Al-Qaeda and other groups like that, all they want to do is just sit around and read the Quran and worship Allah, and
they want to kill the infidels and return to their fundamentalist way to life.
Yeah, they're looking for subsistence living by strict
Well, they're trying to stick to the idea that...
But see, but they don't need anything to do that. You don't need anything. You know, you need the bare minimum of anything. So we're at a distinct disadvantage because we're in a we're attempting to preserve a free society where half the people in the free societies don't believe where there's even anything to fear. But if we don't, if the world order doesn't maintain, if the status quo isn't kept, then there could be severe, dire consequences for, you know, everybody on the planet. You know, we are intertwined. We are interdependent in many ways.
I think if it happens,
I'm not saying we're going to roll over and die and stuff, but our way of life could be severely changed.
I disagree. I think if I stick my head in the sand for long enough, yes, it's all go away.
Yeah.
It's not going to hurt me. It's not going to butt me in the butt. If I don't see it...
Because they could just go, hey, we just, you know, we took over Pakistan and we blew up your country. We're done. You know? Whatever. Goodbye, me.
But it's like a Hatfield McCoy thing. You know, it's never done.
No, but, I mean, but that's a thing. Meaning you have to... I think you have to end up, you know, killing a lot of people before they're convinced that they're making a severe error.
Well, I don't think you're going to be able to convince them they're making an error. That's the problem.
Well, I mean, I don't want to say kill a bunch of people, but I kind of think that might need to happen.
I'm just saying, they don't have a problem with that. As far as they see it...
And we do. I can't even admit it that that's...
I know, but I mean, as far as they see it, you know, they're fighting a righteous, almost unwinnable fight, even though they are certain that they're going to win in the end.
Mm-hmm.
That's all about a David and Goliath type of, you know, we have this. This is our only choice. This, you know, what else can we do but to protect our sovereignty and our belief system? You know, this is the only recourse we have to make you leave. You know, but it's a strange situation, if you ask me.
It's bizarre.
It really is, and there's a lot more going on to it than any. Anybody who's very educated and well-versed in the situation can tell you.
Yeah.
There's stuff that they don't even know. I mean, it's fucked up. And one day it's going to settle itself out one way or the other, and I'm afraid it's going to be messy. But,
yeah,
you know. But either way, hopefully I'll have a chance to still keep, you know, going along in a Holocaust society or something. I don't know.
That'd be awful.
Well, it'd be an adventure.
Wouldn't need my resume anymore. That'd be kind of cool. Look at the bright side.
See, now aren't you feeling stupid about paying off that school loan?
No more reading the want ads. Yeah, I could have partied like it was 2009.
I'm going to party like it's 2026.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
that's enough of that.
I'm going to say this
really
quick.
Revelations talk.
I think that... Oh, by the way, speaking of the Revelations talk, the other night at the Limelight, one of the stupid cocktail waitresses was like, oh, I said... Me and Harrison were saying something, and she said something about, oh, did you see that thing on Nostradamus the other day? And I was like, that one on the History Channel? She goes, yeah, it's such creepy. And I was like, you know, they've been doing specials like that for the past 40 years.
Yeah.
You know, nothing changed. Nothing cataclysmic has happened. Every year they're going, yeah. Every time another 10 years rolls around, they're like, oh, he's got these prophecies. And it's like,
yeah.
Well, he was only one letter off from Hitler. It's like,
the History Channel doesn't even understand the irony of doing a...
No, they don't.
Doing a special on a soothsayer.
On a precog from the 13th century.
Yeah.
And he missed his calling.
I think he was just a bad poet.
That could be it. I think he wanted to be a mentalist, you know, like David Blaine, you know, Chris Angel, that kind of thing.
Yeah. He had the name for it. He was well, I'm Nostradamus. I mean, kind of mystical.
Dude, put on a big black cloak. Yeah. Get on stage.
Funny hat, you know.
Make up some words. Abracadis. Kalazagazam.
Wajigaboza. Hujimawata.
So.
It's the Nostradamus show. You make it out alive.
I must say that you have, I've noticed that you've been in a better mood in the past couple of weeks.
Really?
Just from having internet and cable in your house.
Yeah.
Because you know what happens is when you're here, you don't feel so stir crazy.
Yeah, that helps. You know what else is that I also went without it for a long time, and I hope I don't slip back into my old way, but I've actually been able to turn it off sometimes. But yeah, so it's kind of good.
I've just noticed the difference, that's all I'm saying. It seems it's tranquil, meditative.
Well, and I also just have something to listen to besides talk radio.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's just something else to...
Which is good. See, I think the people on talk radio, they get to get it off their chests every day. And the listeners just kind of get... Oh, just get jazzed up, you know?
That's right, so they can go to a bar and argue.
Yeah.
You know what I heard Michael Medved say today?
Yeah.
Or who's another one?
Rush Limbaugh, Mike Gallagher,
Art Somebody,
Sean Hannity,
Jane Hoo Hoo, and Johnny Ho Ho.
Yeah, and I don't even know what the other stations are. I mean, I don't know what CBS Radio is or ABC Radio or
crap.
Yeah,
it's all the same.
There's two sports channels, but I can't stand. Well, we already talked about Jim Rome.
There's so much content out there.
Yeah,
everyone's saying the same thing. It's like you go on Google News, which has this, like, gets news from all kinds of sources.
From the World Wide Web.
Well, I'm just saying, but so many of the, I mean, and then you go on the most popular stories.
I want to read about German ambulance crashes, not run-of-the-mill California.
But I'm just saying, there's like 13 stories that have, like, you know, 1,000 stories on the same subject. And it's kind of like, are you telling me there's nothing else happening?
Well, anymore? And the stuff that would be different isn't even in English. I'm like, you know, like, I want to read, like, the Chinese news, you know, like, Guijin dies in flood because, you know...
If you could read Chinese, you could.
Yeah.
But see, that's all state-sponsored news, so who knows what you're getting with that.
But that might even be funnier. Might be more amusing. Reading heavily edited and censored...
They had a serious flood problem in Tabasco, Mexico, recently.
Yeah.
Killed a bunch of people.
I noticed Americans haven't been really screaming out to send aid there.
It wasn't that bad. It was only like 40 people killed.
Yeah, I'm not sending them any money. Sorry about your flood.
Hey, they get our money. We have tourists down there all the time.
Yeah, that's the only way they're going to get it.
And they get a lot of it that way.
We weren't getting any aid. Yeah, it wasn't really a tsunami.
I don't know what happened. I just saw flood, Tabasco.
Flood. Death.
Death.
You know, this is good about...
Cut your face off!
Back to the pants. They can pretty much go with any color.
It's because every color's in them.
Yeah. They are heterochromatic.
That's nice. Nice use.
Yep. I've been carrying that word around for...
Since second grade,
we had vocabulary class, and we learned big words like ostentatious and heterochromatic. And
what's that word for big words?
I don't remember those two. Polysyllabic.
Yeah, and then there's also the biggest word,
disestablishmentarianism.
Yeah.
Right behind supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
But see, that's not a real word.
That's not really a word.
Whereas anti-disestablishmentarianism is actually a word.
It is.
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious is something fucking opiumed out Disney writers came up with.
Yeah. So Dean from Be Brave Bold Robot sent us a comment. If anybody goes on the side and he guessed the biggest word, the phrase cool never goes out of style was for like polar wear or something.
Oh, really? Did he?
Yeah, but I see, maybe it is, but I swear to God, I heard that for something else though. And
do we owe him something?
Oh, we were going to sign something or there's some kind of worthless thing that we were going to give him a phone. Oh, I've actually called him up in voicemails already, so I've already prepaid for that special privilege of a cheery voicemail.
Dean's a fantastic quality individual.
Yeah, except for the night he skipped out on his gig at Maryland's because he was too tired or something.
When was that?
2 weeks ago.
Well, if it was anything like that night that I went to go see him where there was like, what, four or five of us there? I mean,
Yeah, I wasn't really that upset about it. I just wanted to see him play again. But yeah, I want him to come back, you know. But
hey, you know, I...
But I like to have him as there, like, you know, once every couple months, just because he's good and interesting and fun.
Friend of mine,
I wish I knew, like, three more people like that.
Right.
Then I have him all the time.
Not a friend of mine, a friend of my girlfriend's that she works with. Ida, she bought me the first season of Weeds for my birthday, the late birthday present. And that song, the original version, the folk version of that song that he did that night, the Tiny Boxes, that, you know, that's the theme for that. I didn't know that. It's the theme for the show.
We didn't discuss that that night.
No, we didn't.
No.
I didn't, because I didn't remember him. He told me that it was a song he had come across a long time ago, this folk version. And I was like, oh, yeah, yeah, cool. We're all talking about that song the night we was playing it and all that.
Yeah.
And then when I got this, you know, I popped in the first disc, I was like, oh, that's that song.
Yeah.
It was kind of a cool, you know, ooh, comes all around.
Yeah, but see, if you listened that day, you would have
heard that he said that.
That was the shit from that TV show.
Well, I didn't listen,
so. Paying attention at the time.
See, but then that wouldn't have made it as fun.
No, it worked out good for you.
For me, it worked out great.
With your business suit and your... Is that one?
My little box is made of ticky-tack.
No, the song from Lost.
Oh. Come on, everybody!
Yeah. How's that go?
He says, talking... You know what? I'm going to go find out.
You think you're special?
I got the DVD set at the house, the first season. I'm going to go find out exactly what the whole thing is, because it's only like a phrase of, come on, everybody, y'all think you so smart talking your expensive clothes.
Yeah.
From a Donahue show, of all things.
That's great.
Donahue. I used to watch that show.
Because that was like the only show like that for a while.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know who knocked Donahue off the perch, don't you?
Geraldo. Oprah.
It was Oprah. Wasn't quite Geraldo, it was Oprah.
Geraldo was there for a little while.
Oprah's the one who took over the morning talk, and then she moved her show to the afternoon.
Is that what happened? I don't even know.
I think. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Donahue got knocked out by the Jerry Springers and the Geraldos and all the people doing the shock jock talk show TV thing.
Well, he pioneered a form, and then...
He pioneered that town hall forum.
Yeah.
You know, of a talk show on TV, where people got to, like...
The audience audience actually talked to the guests.
Yeah. And his stuff was pretty, you know, I'm not going to say important, but relatively relevant. It didn't seem like it was much of sensationalistic bullshit at the time.
Well, he also didn't have any competition.
Yeah, he didn't have to do that.
Not until cable.
And so when that started, though, then he had to start dumbing it down and...
Yeah. I don't really need to go over the history of Phil fucking Donahue.
I do, because he's a hero.
Yeah.
He was the first man to wear glasses big enough to fit screens in them.
Yeah.
On TV. That was big for me, because I wore glasses.
Oh.
Let me know that people like me can
see. You still wear glasses.
Yeah, I do. It's because I can't put my fingers in my eye.
You're still wearing them now.
Because I can't see without them. You know what I've noticed, though, when you get older? You can't see close up either.
Really?
You see old people doing this, holding stuff further away to see it, and you're like, what the fuck are they doing? I mean, how are you going to see it further away?
Yeah.
Well, as out of experience, now, you know, getting older as I am.
You mean farsighted?
Your eyes have problems focusing really close. I mean, I used to be able to read with a book like 3 inches from my face without problem.
Yeah.
And I can't do that anymore. I mean, it has to be like at least a good 6-7 inches away from my eyes, or I can't even focus on it.
It happens.
Yeah, it's age.
Alrighty, well, we're hitting around 30.
Oh, we are? Hitting $130?
Yeah.
Damn, we suck.
So, I think we should...
We never even make the team like that.
Sign off. So...
Yeah, because you gotta get ready for work anyways.
Here we are in Sac-Tove, trying to finish up our Halloween candy. I hope you enjoyed the show.
By the way, if there's anybody in town in Sacramento, California on a Tuesday night and you need something to do, you should try Live Band Karaoke, because... Yeah. There's no better way to increase your own self-worth than to be on stage with the professional band backing you up and have people cheer after you brutalize a song, no less.
Yeah, and I'm switching stuff around over there.
What do you mean?
I'm not going to do the sign-ups. I'm letting one of the door guys do it.
And then you're just going to do the thinking and stuff
then,
like that?
Yeah, and then just organize it, because I'm sick of people going, what should I do? I don't know what you should think.
Sign up with the door guy.
Don't get me involved. I'm not involved anymore. You put down your name and the song you want to sing, and that's what you get. You're not going to get a whole, I'm not going to, you know, don't ask when you're going, because I'm going to go up there and I'm saying, going to read who's going.
I didn't know you had to put up with that shit. You know?
People just...
Well, I mean, I didn't know because I don't do that. I know what I'm going to do, and then I just wait until you call my name.
See? And I like the people that come in. I like a lot of our regulars and stuff, but they have too many questions that I can't answer. And I'm like, could you fucking go away, please? Because you're irking the shit out of me. Now, I'm not, you know, if you want to sing, you're going to have to go sign up. You know, I'm not... It's totally changing, and I just because it's going to make me happier. It's just going to be a little bit.
Get the door people involved.
It's just going to be very more regulated in a minimalistic way. You write your name down and saying, then when we start the set, I'm going to say who's up, and then who's going to go, and then so be ready, and then that's what's going to happen. And there's no lobbying. There's no if you want to bribe us, but I can't tell people that
You just can't. I'll tell people that.
Well, I'm not going to say that because you don't want to be like, oh, they're just trying to because obviously we're there to make money, but it's not going to be like,
that you're there to have a good time.
Yeah. Yeah, really. We're working our butts off so other people have a good time.
That's what I always think is funny about working at a bar is you have people come, I wish I was a bartender. Man, you guys get this party all night. It's like, no, we don't. We have to put up with shitheads like you all night.
Yeah.
You think we're here to have fun with you. Well, we're not. We're here to serve you drinks.
Yeah.
And stock a bar and clean up.
If some fun happens, that's great, but sometimes we're busy and then,
And you should want to...
Have your own... You got to figure out how to have fun on your own there a little bit,
Hey, could you hear when I made that face?
Yeah, but there's things like I would do when I was pouring. I had two people were single, do you know them? Do you know them? And then I'd be like, talk to each other. You met them? Yeah, you should meet them. There you bet. Start talking.
Stop talking to me.
Leave the fuck alone unless you want a drink, because I get 20 people that want drinks right now. Yeah.
Unless you're a Detroit fan, fuck off!
But that's what a bartender should do as well. They should be introducing people who go to the same place. Because if you're not facilitating a good time, why are they going to want to come anyways?
I hear you.
But as far as
giving them freaking attention,
by the way,
all the time when at the point of losing sales.
Your Lions did a wonderful job on my Broncos, by the way.
Yeah.
You must have enjoyed that.
If I saw any of it,
it was broadcast anywhere.
No,
we had it on in the limelight.
Yeah, I thought about going over there. That was an early game, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep.
You would have.
So, anyways, life can be. Life is good. You just gotta Sometimes it's one thing. You're just never gonna be able to coast along, and I've been trying to do that, and it doesn't...
You can. It doesn't work, though.
It doesn't increase your happiness.
Not really.
Coasting does not get you any happier.
You know what coasting does?
You any more out of life.
It helps you avoid situations that aren't necessarily pleasant, but at the same time, those unpleasant situations are usually ones that put you in better situations.
Yes. You develop that way.
You learn. You grow. Yeah.
So everybody go out and develop themselves this week. Stop coasting.
Challenge yourself, bitches!
I'm trying not to coast, so let's all work on that, and, I'm rooting for you.
All I know is coast. Just put a big drink on me.
Yeah. So, and the pants, well, you'll see them when you downloaded the show. So, take it easy.